Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for January 27th, 2009. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. In this episode, we'll be discussing research published by Hinoy and colleagues in a recent issue of the Journal of Cell Biology and featured in the Editor's Choice section of Science Signaling. I spoke with Science Signaling editor John Foley about the research. Hi, John.
Hi, Annalisa.
The paper that you highlighted in Editor's Choice is about how the hormone leptin acts through the sympathetic nervous system to affect insulin production. First of all, what is the sympathetic nervous system?
Well, the sympathetic nervous system is the branch of the nervous system that regulates what we call the fight or flight response. And this is usually mediated by hormones such as epinephrine, which is also known as adrenaline, and results in the kinds of effects that we associate with fight or flight, such as increased heart rate and increased responsiveness. But the sympathetic nervous system also basically produces these hormones at a very, very low level, a kind of a basal level. And this kind of basal level of activity or stimulation is known as sympathetic tone. So any kind of stimulus that increases the production of epinephrine or adrenaline increases sympathetic tone. And then conversely, if you reduce the amount of these hormones, you decrease sympathetic tone.
This paper concerns the action of leptin on the sympathetic nervous system. What is leptin and what does it do physiologically?
Leptin is a hormone, and the main source of leptin is the white adipose tissue. There are other sources in the body as well, but most of it is produced by the white adipose tissue. And leptin is probably best characterized by its effects on inhibiting appetite, and it functions basically usually through the nervous system. But leptin has a lot of other effects as well, including, for example, inhibiting the production of insulin. And it also has effects, for example, on the activity of osteoblasts, the bone-making cells in the bone. So it's got a lot of different effects. And one of the other effects of leptin that's pretty well known as well is having a direct effect on the production of insulin by pancreatic islet cells. And obviously that will affect then levels of glucose in the serum and regulate energy.
So you mentioned that it was already known that leptin communicates with the bone, that leptin has an effect on the bone cells. And it was known that there is a connection between leptin and the pancreatic islet cells. How does this new research connect these two?
Well, essentially, Hinoy et al. Started their work by looking at differences between wild-type mice and mice that were deficient in leptin. And they looked specifically at the effects of leptin deficiency on insulin production by the pancreas. And as you would expect, the concentration of serum insulin in leptin-deficient mice was much higher than it was in wild-type mice because leptin inhibits the secretion of insulin. They were able then to take the pancreatic islets out of these leptin-deficient mice and treat them with leptin. And they found that, sure enough, this decreased the amount of insulin that was secreted by the pancreatic islets. But the effect wasn't dramatic enough to account for the whole effect in the leptin-deficient mice on insulin secretion.
So from that experiment, then, it was clear that leptin is required directly by the pancreatic islet cells to regulate their insulin production, but that it was also having some other effect?
Exactly. It was having an indirect effect as well. And that's what basically Hinoy et al. Wanted to try to investigate. Now, I should mention here as well that there is another hormone that's involved in regulating the production of insulin by pancreatic islet cells, and that's called osteocalcin. And osteocalcin is produced by osteoblasts in the bone. And because, as we mentioned earlier, leptin is known to regulate the function of osteoblasts, Hinoy et al. Wondered whether there might be some indirect effect of leptin on pancreatic insulin secretion that might work through regulating the activity of osteocalcin.
And so did they do some experiments to address that hypothesis?
Yes, they did. So the previous work had shown that leptin was affecting the activity of osteoblasts through its effects on the sympathetic nervous system. So the authors of this paper started to look at the effects of leptin receptor deficiency in neurons on insulin concentrations in the blood. And basically, that's what they did. They measured the insulin concentration in the blood of mice that were deficient in leptin receptors in neurons and found that it was higher than in wild-type animals. And that's what you would expect, because if you don't have any leptin signaling, you can't get suppression of insulin production. The other interesting thing that they found, though, was that the concentration of epinephrine in the blood of leptin receptor deficient mice was also lower than in wild-type animals. So the leptin receptor deficient animals had a lower sympathetic tone than did the wild-type animals. So this led them to examine the effects of the sympathetic nervous system, and in particular epinephrine, on insulin production by mice.
So they showed then that leptin affects the sympathetic nervous system. Did they then go on to look at the connection between the sympathetic nervous system and insulin production?
Yes, they did. What they actually did was to take the leptin-deficient mice, which have higher concentrations of insulin than wild-type mice, and they treated the leptin-deficient mice with agonists of receptors that are involved in epinephrine signaling. They found that when they treated leptin-deficient mice with agonists to beta-adrenergic receptors, that their insulin concentrations went down. So by increasing sympathetic tone in these leptin-deficient mice, they were able to kind of bypass the leptin deficiency and result in less insulin being secreted.
So the idea then is that leptin increases the production of epinephrine by the sympathetic nervous system, and that that then somehow results in a decrease in insulin production.
Exactly.
How does that happen?
Well, the authors then decided to see if the effect of epinephrine was being mediated by osteoblasts. And one of the main reasons for doing that was because, as we mentioned before, leptin can affect the activity of osteoblasts through the sympathetic nervous system. And the way the authors addressed this issue was to delete the beta-2 adrenergic receptor from osteoblasts and then look at the effects of deletion of that receptor on the insulin concentration in those mice.
So essentially what they did then was engineer osteoblasts that were unable to respond to epinephrine signaling.
Exactly, yes. And what they found was when they compared the insulin concentrations in those mice to wild-type mice, they found that the insulin concentrations were higher than in wild-type mice. So if the osteoblasts were unable to respond through the beta-2 adrenergic receptor to epinephrine, the insulin concentration in those mice was higher than in wild-type mice.
So osteoblasts must be able to respond to epinephrine signaling in order to relay the signal from leptin to decrease insulin production.
That's correct. And they also performed experiments on wild-type mice, and they treated the wild-type mice with antagonists of beta-2 adrenergic receptors, and their insulin concentrations went up.
So the epinephrine then is acting on osteoblasts to decrease insulin levels. Did they address the mechanism by which epinephrine action on the osteoblasts resulted in a decrease in serum insulin levels?
Yes, they did. The obvious candidate, of course, was osteocalcin, because that is the hormone that's produced by osteoblasts that stimulates the production of insulin by the pancreas. So you might think, or you might imagine, for example, that there's some inhibitory effect on the activity of osteocalcin, or maybe on the production of osteocalcin. So they first looked at what was going on in the osteoblasts that were being stimulated by epinephrine. In fact, it turns out that there wasn't any effect on the expression of the gene that encodes osteocalcin, and there wasn't any effect on the production of osteocalcin. What actually turned out to be the mechanism was that there's a protein that modifies and inactivates osteocalcin. And osteoblasts that were treated with epinephrine or epinephrine agonists increased their production of this enzyme. And that led to an increase in the amount of inactive osteocalcin compared to the amount of active osteocalcin. And because you've got more inactive osteocalcin now, you can't stimulate the pancreas as much as you would like to in order to get insulin production.
What these experiments show then is that leptin affects insulin signaling directly by acting on the pancreatic islet cells, but that it also affects it indirectly by acting through the bone.
That's exactly right. Leptin has its direct effects on the pancreas and it inhibits the production of insulin. But this isn't sufficient to completely control the amount of insulin being produced by the pancreas. So leptin travels from the adipose tissue through the bloodstream to the brain, where it activates the sympathetic nervous system to produce more epinephrine. The epinephrine then goes to the blood and it acts on the osteoblasts. And it does this by increasing the amount of the enzyme that inactivates osteocalcin, thereby shutting down osteocalcin's stimulatory effect on insulin production in the pancreas.
So this research then shows that basically there's a lot of crosstalk between different systems, between the fat and the bone and the pancreas, to control insulin production.
Exactly, and part of the endocrine function of the adipose tissue is actually mediated by the bone.
Okay, well, thank you, John.
You're welcome.
The paper we discussed is by Eiichi Hinoi and colleagues, entitled "The Sympathetic Tone Mediates Leptin's Inhibition of Insulin Secretion by Modulating Osteocalcin Bioactivity." It was published in the December 29th issue of the Journal of Cell Biology. For an overview of leptin function and more information about how leptin communicates to the bone through the sympathetic nervous system, you can read a perspective by Paul Trahern in the Science Signaling Archives. That wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, the Science Society. Our producer is Robert Frederick. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for joining us.